Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and this is a jam-packed show today. I have four guests on. We're going to be talking with designers, fabric designers, pattern designers, bag designers, all kinds of people on here today, new books, new projects. And first, we're going to kick off the whole show with quilter Cheryl Melkowski. I am totally fascinated by Cheryl's quilts. They look very intricate, and her use of fabric, her batiks, her other fabrics are just amazing. They're just so gorgeous. So I'm really excited to have Cheryl on here so that she can tell us a little bit about how she makes her very doable projects and also about her newest book with C&T called Block to Diamonds. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Pat. How are you today?
I am great. You know, I would love to know first, how did you get started quilting?
Well, there was just a group of ladies who started meeting at church where somebody was going to teach us how. So we did an old Eleanor Burns pattern back in 1993.
So, you know, a lot of people learn with groups like that, don't they?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking maybe I should be giving back in that regard. I hadn't thought about this until I read the thought of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's fun, isn't it, to go out and just sort of teach a beginner again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when you did that first little project, were you hooked like right away?
Immediately. I was making a quilt for both of my kids for Christmas. I was using the same pattern, and before I finished those two quilts, which I kind of made in tandem, I was already changing it and designing it because I wanted the colors to flow from one side to the other.
Mm-hmm.
I was not content to just follow what she wanted me to do. So,
well, that's fabulous, you know, because that makes it your own.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nice. Tell me a little bit, Cheryl, about your newest book. I am like over the moon about this book, Blocks to Diamonds. It's like gorgeous, gorgeous quilts.
Thank you. It was a matter of everyone that I knew making the Lone Star, or the regular Radiant Lone Star quilts, and mm-hmm. I was going to make one, and then I just couldn't bring myself to make it because I knew that it was going to look like everybody else's. So I started playing with the idea of skewing a traditional block into a diamond and using it as one arm of the Lone Star. Well, I'm a pretty strong believer in the idea that you can't let the quilt know that you don't know how to put it together once you've got the idea. So I knew it was going to involve some kind of paper piecing, but I don't like to pick out all the paper, and I don't have a paper picking fairy at my house. So I decided to use a freezer paper piecing technique where you sew next to it. And it worked beautifully, and the quilts turned out, and I was as shocked as anyone, but that sent me on that journey.
Oh, you know, I really like how the quilts look complicated, but you said they're really not.
Well, when all you're doing is stitching next to the line, how hard can it be? You know they're going to end up the right size because you're going to cut them when you're finished. So, I mean, the most difficult thing, I think, in the whole quilt is having to do the Y seams when you're putting the blocks together, and that's not hard after you've tried it a few times.
Do you have a tip for that? Because, you know, I still am not, you know, really mastered that part of it.
It's all about that quarter inch at the very corner of each block. If you stitch right up to that quarter inch and mark that on all the pieces of fabric that you're trying to make match, and be sure to pull out the excess fabric between, well, right where they meet, like you're doing a mitered border, then it really goes pretty well. I found that once someone sees the technique, they can go, oh, and then they just do it. And it works just as well for them as it does for me.
Ah, so, you know, I think seeing it also would help.
Yes.
And you teach, right? You go out and you travel?
Yes, I do. I'm actually going to be up in Tacoma at the end of the month at the Pacific West Quilt Show. I'm so excited about that. I get to teach two classes and do a trunk show up there. And, you know, I also teach around in here in Oregon and other places to guilds and things like that. But I'm especially excited about being able to teach at the Empty Spool Seminar in Pacific Grove, California. Mm-hmm. Next April, I'm going to be teaching a class out of the Blocks to Diamonds book, and that's going to be fun because we'll be there the whole week. Everybody will be able to finish their quilt, and then I'm going to get to see the end of them, which I don't usually get to see.
I know. Isn't that the best part when you teach, is you get to see the finished project?
Yes, and a lot of the things that I do when I teach just a one-day class, I see their first two diamonds, but unless they email me that photo, I don't get to see the end of it. So that's one of my favorite things, is seeing how different they look when people, you know, have made their fabric choices and it comes all together in that diamond.
So have you taught long classes like that before where you actually work with the students for, you know, 4 days, 5 days?
I haven't, and that's why I'm so excited. It's going to be big fun.
That just seems like everybody wins when you are able to do that sort of intense study with somebody.
Well, sure, they're going to be able to actually finish the quilt. See, they're not just going to be able to watch me make the little Y seam. They're actually going to make all their Y seams.
Right.
And this is a simple enough project that I'm quite sure that almost all my students will be able to finish in the 5 days that we have. So, woohoo!
Yay! Yay! That is incredible. Now I'm going to segue here because I'm looking at, you know, when I looked at your quilts and I can see the quilting on them. Mm-hmm. I just you do your own quilting, right?
Yes, all of it.
Well, can you? You have a new book that's coming out called Doodle Quilting.
Yes.
And so, you know, tell me about this book, because this is taking your quilting and teaching.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. I've been teaching this class for probably 10 years called Doodle Your Way to Better Quilting. The idea behind it is when I was teaching the regular domestic machine quilting class, I'd have students come in and go, oh, I'm not artistic. I can't draw. I don't know how to do this. Well, I think they can. Mm-hmm. They just need to start with something that they know how to do. So in this book, I've taken really simple motifs. We start with something that we can all do, like cursive E's, okay? Mm-hmm. We can all do those because we are all of a certain age and have had cursive in grade school. So, you know, you make the row of E's. You make it forward, you make it backwards, you understand how it works, you make them so they go up and they go down, and you learn each motif and how each motif behaves. And then I talk about how you're going to choose a set of motifs so that when you go to quilt, you know what you're going to do ahead of time. Because I have a theory that the hardest thing is just knowing what you're going to do. So
you're not
having to. It is.
I think it freezes people, don't you think? Sometimes they just go stuck.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're quilting along and you're in the lower right-hand side of your area that you're working on and you go, oh, no, I forgot to quilt that part that's up there in the upper left-hand corner, you have to have a way already built in to get back up in there so that it doesn't look unnatural, so that it's not going to be, oh, she forgot where she was, and she had to go all the way back up there. It's just that you need to choose the motifs so that they all flow together and you can get back to where you need to be. So that's the main gist of it, is learning the motifs, how they behave, knowing what you need to do next so that you can put it all together.
So do you do this out on paper sometimes, Cheryl, and then go to the quilt? Do you have some tip there?
I do it every time on paper. I start with an idea that's usually some sort of inspiration from the fabric or the quilt in general, something maybe about the name of the quilt, some kind of something like that. And then I'll start to see how the motifs behave together and then go to the quilt so that I know what I'm doing before I start. because
you know, I think people don't do that enough. I know I don't. You know, sometimes I just sit down and go, and I get stuck, like you said. You're going, oh, well, this isn't really going very well. Then I'm stuck here. But
right.
On the paper, it would make more sense.
Right, because you are going to have limited, you know, limited space, and that's where you get into, you know, creative planning is how you're going to fill the space and get into all the places with the motifs that you have in your little repertoire there. I usually choose, you know, maybe four or five things that I'm going to allow myself to be into. And once you've made yourself a little set of rules, then you know what to do every time.
Yeah, I think that is perfect. So we all need to get your book. I'm going to be first in line.
Yay!
So tell me, you do work with Timeless Treasures with a lot of their boutiques. What, you know, why do you love boutiques so much?
I don't know. I think it might be the way they feel and how saturated the color is. Mm-hmm. But you know, if I'm left to my own devices, I'm going to choose boutiques every time. So being able to work with Timeless to design quilts for their new lines of boutiques is like the perfect thing for me to do.
Perfect job.
It is the perfect job. I get to touch all of them even before the reps get to see them. It's fabulous. So I have one that should be on their Timeless Treasures website in a couple days that's featuring this lemon poppy line of boutiques that's sort of navy blue and lime green and some teal in there and some soft gray. I love it first sight for me. And I made a quilt with these wonky little squares in it, just sort of a retro modern looking thing. And I'm really excited for that one to hit the website. But I'm
Cheryl,
also working. Yes.
Cheryl, this has been really fun. We're out of time.
But see how fast we are?
I know. I want to tell everybody your website, CherylMelkowski.com, where you can get to her blog and find her on Facebook and everything else. Cheryl, I can't wait to meet you in person.
I think we should. Maybe at Market.
There you go.
There you go.
We'll be right back after this little break to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio with your host, Pat Sloan.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin, Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts & More magazines. Go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Well, Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. And now, if you have made a bag, you are going to love my next guest. I personally am totally over the moon with Kathy Sutherland's bags of Studio Cat. And I know many of you are out there as big fans. She's got a fabulous website, blog, and I'm going to have her come on now and talk about bag making. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm just fine, Pat. I hope you are, too.
I am. I'm sounding a little off. I have a cold, but, you know, that's just one of those things you get. Keep going. Kathy, you know, I just want you to tell me, have you always made bags, purses, totes, or is this sort of like something you encountered along your journey of sewing?
Well, actually, no, but what I've always been is a lover of a good handbag. I don't remember a time where I didn't have a closet full of handbags. I collect handbags the way most women collect shoes. So that's always been a passion of mine, is a good handbag, and I guess I kindly got into the field of making them simply because I got sick and tired of looking for the perfect bag. I might as well go ahead and just make it the way I want it.
So how long have you been, you know, when did you make yours? Like, did you start in high school, or was this sort of more as an adult hobby that turned into a business?
Actually, I worked for 30 years for the city of Winston-Salem, and this is my second chance in life. So when I retired, I retired to doing this. I kind of worked at it for the last 2 years that I worked for the city, and when I saw that retirement was nearing, I thought, well, this is a good way to end.
Ah, so your second career.
Yes.
Is your bags, your bags are so well designed, Kathy.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you put a lot of details into them. And, you know, what is sort of your thought process about designing a bag?
Well, my usual inspiration is I'm basically inspired by shape and features. So I like to watch the fashion runways and see what the new shapes are. I also have been known to be very inspired by a particular piece of fabric that I want to highlight. So, and of course, the function of the bag is the most important thing to me. I like it to look great on the outside, there's no doubt about it, but I also like the bag to work well with the way I live. I like it to carry the things that I need. I like for there to be room. I don't like digging around for stuff. So I like a lot of features in the bags that I can always find what I want. Everything's at my fingertips.
Yeah, because you have a lot of pockets. Your website, StudioCatDesigns.com, and in there you give a lot of photos of the different parts of your purse.
Yes, indeed, because I think that's so important. I like for a bag to look good. But if I'm aggravated with the way it's functioning, I can lose interest in a bag real fast.
Right. Now tell me a little bit about how you share on your blog, because I think that's really unique, because you actually are putting on sort of your development process there.
Well, I think that's one of the most important things we do on the blog. What people seem to enjoy the most is to watch how we develop it from start to finish. And I think if people really see the process, and they do in our blog, it's very different than what they imagine. I think folks think that you just fix up a pattern and a couple weeks later you pop it out and sell
right.
it. It really is a long, involved process. And for some reason, folks have really, the more detailed I've made it, the more they seem to enjoy it. So I don't know if it's a voyeuristic thing or if people really are intrigued by the thing and going to try it themselves. I'm not sure what, but we do enjoy sharing the details. You know, some of it's proprietary, of course, but we like to make it as open a process as possible, because I do think people appreciate it more when it's done, the detail that we've put into it. I think then they somehow realize that maybe the pattern is it's worth the cost, it's worth the extra that they pay to get an independent pattern.
And I think that a part of what's interesting is that when you show that something didn't work, you explain why, or you have suggestions, and I think that helps everybody learn.
I think that's right, because we do get a lot of, we'll get a lot of suggestions, and I love the suggestions people, the people write in, but many times we'll say, well, why don't you just cut the corner off here? Why don't you just do the strap this way? And they don't realize that that affects one change. Affects so many things. People many times will call and say, well, you know, the bag's a little bigger than I want. Can I just size it down and make it the way I want? And my answer to anyone that asks me that question is no.
No.
You know, unless you really know what you're doing, one small change is like a domino, and it affects so many other hidden areas that it really is like a jigsaw puzzle putting it together.
And I think because sometimes with a quilt block, it's maybe a little simpler because there's less parts, but you have all these different parts in the bag. And if one's smaller,
it's moving parts, and some of them are weight bearing parts, you know, and you have to take all that in consideration. You're right.
And you also have a lot of bags that you show that people made with your pattern. And so they can email you a picture and then you post it.
Well, and we have a contest every month, as a matter of fact, with a prize.
And
I love posting those. Every month we have a handbag of the month, and I love posting those photos, because what that shows people is that your average person can indeed make a beautiful handbag.
They're amazing.
And some of the things, the creativity some of the people have sent in, I just love to see it. And even though I think my bags are beautiful, somebody else's point of view can be equally beautiful and resonate more with another customer. And so I love getting the pictures. And our contest is one of the most popular things we do on our newsletter.
Yeah, and you do have a very nice newsletter. So people can sign up from that at your website, right?
Correct.
Now tell me about this new Notions line that you have. It's adorable.
Well, thanks. We're so excited about our Notions line. You know, folks have pushed us to do this for quite some time, and I resisted, foolishly, evidently. And we've now introduced a few Notions. We've got some zippers, some black and white ones, and some hardware. And what I have found is not only does it augment and enhance my bag line, but it does wonders for other people's bag lines, too, because I didn't realize how hard it was for some folks to find good hardware, nice-looking, substantial hardware and zippers to put in their bags, and they're not going to make the patterns. They're not going to make up the bags if they can't find all the components to go with it. And so it's helped us, and I think it's helped other people's handbag lines, too, which in turn helps us.
You know, are you also like selling like the things for the handles, and you know, what are your Notions? I guess that's what I'm trying to say. What exactly are they that you
at this point? We've got black and white zippers. I try not to. We're trying real hard not to put things out there on the market that are already being well served.
Right.
And so we've got the black and white striped zippers, which I love.
Yeah, oh, they're amazing.
They go with everything. And those have really been popular with people. But what we've also found is difficult for people to find is good-looking rectangular rings to put on, to attach straps with, or good-looking buckles. Because so often they're flimsy, and they look like they bend if the wind blows them wrong. And so these are nice, substantial. It's a shame to make a beautiful bag and then put a cheap piece of hardware on it, and that's what people are having trouble finding. So we carry most of those, the rings, the zippers, and our newest Notion, which has been the most popular thing that we've introduced so far, is the sew-in snap.
Oh.
Which is invisible. It's sewn in within the layers of the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And so it snaps closed, and there's no, you know how you used to have to put those sew-in snaps and cut through all the layers with a razor?
Yeah.
There's no more of that. You sew it in with your machine. No special needle, no nothing, and it snaps together every time. There's no manually making them come close together so they'll snap. It snaps first time every time. It's great.
Ah, you're so smart. So smart to find these things. Well, now, Kathy, tell me about your Harmony bag, because the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting selected that during for one of the magazines as an editor's choice. Is that a really popular bag?
It's been very popular, and when they chose it, it went off the charts. It was I was so lucky that they chose that bag. It's a large tote bag. It has, of course, a lot of storage options on the inside. But I think what women like most about it is that it can be tooled in different ways. So that, for example, some women are using it for a knitting bag. Mm. Some women are using it for a diaper bag.
Yeah.
So because it's a general purpose tote bag with all those storage options, it can be fashioned in a way so that it meets their needs. Some people are using it for their computer bag. So I think it resonated with a lot of different groups of women, and so that's why it was so popular.
And what's your favorite product to use to make your bag stiffer?
Well, you know, there's a brand new product on the market, and we are now designing exclusively around it. This is our third cycle of designing with a product called Soft and Stable.
Mm-hmm.
It is fabulous. It's like Annie Unrain in Utah developed it, and it is so easy to sew with. It doesn't bind up in the seams the way fusible fleece can. It's easy to cut, easy to work with. And then what it does is when you set your bag out, it doesn't collapse. You know how fusible fleece after a while will fold in on itself?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
when you're carrying the bag, it looks great, but when you set it down, it now becomes
floppy.
Right. But that doesn't happen with Soft and Stable, and we've been so pleased with that product. And I think it really is going to revolutionize pattern development for bags.
Oh, now I'm going to have to get some of that to try.
It's fabulous.
Okay, so we have just a second here. Tell me what your studio looks like, Kathy.
Oh, I am lucky to have the best
studio in the world. I've seen pictures.
We did a little studio tour of it here lately with a video on the blog because people are so interested in it. And I got so tired in the house. The business took off, and we had part of it on the bottom floor and part of it on the third floor, and it was so much walking back and forth, my knees started getting bad. So we actually built a studio under our porch, what used to be the backyard. And it's about 20 by 15. I've got everything out here at my fingertips. I got a beautiful view of my backyard where I used to have to sew in a little closet with no window at all. And it's absolutely great. So inspirational to be able to feel like you're outside.
Kathy, this has been amazing to have you on the show.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity so much. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Kathy, from Studio Cat. Visit her at StudioCatDesigns.com. We'll be right back after this little break to talk to Deb Strain.
Do you have a recent project to share? Post a photo of your latest quilt project in our show and tell section at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is! Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzy Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anie LaHoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics. Our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am like so excited to go out and try all these things I'm hearing about today. Products, techniques, very cool stuff. So now we're going to talk to Deb Strain, and I have admired Deb's work forever. As soon as I saw her artwork years ago, I've been a huge fan, and she designs fabric for Moda, and it's beautiful, beautiful fabric. And so I'm really excited to have Deb come on and chat to us a little bit about her company, Salt Box, and about her design process. So hi, Deb. How are you?
Hey, Pat. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, I am really excited to have you here. You are just the best.
Aw. Well, I feel the same about you. This is just really exciting for me.
So tell me a little bit about you. You are an artist, and mm-hmm. you draw and you sketch. I mean, did you do this like as a little kid, like you when the crayon box came out, you were drawing on anything you could?
Oh, yeah. I probably, as long as I can remember, I was drawing, and my first studio was in the back corner of my parents' basement on my dad's antique drafting table, which I still work on every single day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's an antique. Who knows how old it is, but that's what I work on every day, same one. So, yeah, it's been a long, wonderful journey.
So when did you decide that you were going to be an artist as your career? Did you do something else first, and then, or did you just go right out of the, you know, out of the crib?
Well, I can't sing, I can't cook, I can't find directions, you know. So this is pretty much about the direction I was meant to go on. So I was an art teacher in the public schools for 9 years. Loved it. I loved teaching art. And just from there, we had some opportunities and started our own greeting card business and went from there. And now that's what I do full time.
You know, your drawings are not only on the fabric with Moda, but tell me a little bit about where else they are for people who maybe only know you from the fabric side, since they're quilters.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also work in the gift industry, so I do greeting cards, calendars, ornaments, garden flags, books, framed prints, throws, dinnerware, wallpaper, anything that has a picture on it. That would be the type of product that I'm looking for to put my artwork on.
And so describe a little bit about your style, you know, what your sort of images are. There's, you know, a lot of flowers, right?
Mm-hmm, right. Well, and it used to be more more of a folk art slant, but as I'm traveling through this journey, I'm finding it's so exciting to try new directions. So my color palette has brightened. My themes have become a little bit more contemporary, things like that. So change is really an important part of my artwork, and I'm constantly trying to change it in terms, like I say, of color, icons, things like that. So it's a changing process.
Well, I love that for your fabric lines, because each line is, it's got your look, but they're not like cookie cutter. They always have a new spark. Like you did the blue and white, mm-hmm. which is fabulous.
Oh, I love that group. It feels so clean and fresh. And I think, I've been doing this for a long time, and I think, that's part of what keeps me excited about what I'm doing every day, is that I can try new things. I'm very fortunate. Moda has allowed me to, you know, spread my wings and stretch and see what directions I can go in. And that to me is just exciting. I can't wait to get up every day and get started working. I just am so fortunate.
Now, Deb, how do you go about thinking up a line? Because like a fabric line is different than a postcard mm-hmm. or a greeting card. Mm-hmm. You know, so your thought process, is it vastly different, or are they actually very similar?
Well, it depends. Sometimes I'll have a group of images, you know, paintings or something that have done well for me. And so we'll create a fabric line from those images. Mm-hmm. I had a group called Cherish Nature, and that's what happened there. The images were well received on other things like calendars and things like mm-hmm. that. So we took it into a fabric line. And sometimes the reverse is true. Sometimes I will develop a fabric line and it does well, and so the gift industry will ask me to carry it, you know, into some of their products. So it's kind of a back and forth. Mm-hmm. I try to make the most from both worlds, you know, get the most mileage I can out of mm-hmm. both worlds, I guess. So, mm-hmm.
Well, when you're doing a fabric line, Deb, are you sort of, do you have like a color palette that kicks it off, or a theme? How do you kick off your your sort of process to design the line?
Well, I'm always thinking about it. My poor children, you know, they're I'm always distracted. I never remember anything because I'm always thinking about, you know, the colors I see or the images I'm working on. And I generally will brainstorm a list of ideas that I have, and I do a lot of sketches, a lot of research. I'm very messy. I heard Joanne from Figs, and she was saying, right, she was saying that she was a messy designer, and I said, oh, yeah, I can certainly relate to that. I'm very messy, but I have to be surrounded by it. And so if I'm working on a French provincial, I will cover the floor with French fabrics and my walls with pictures from, the you know, wherever that fabric line originated. And, you know, Pat, I'll even look down and I'm wearing the colors that I'm painting, or our meals happen to just be the same colors that we're working on. It pretty much takes over, that's for sure.
Well, it's sort of like an actor or an actress then, when they get like in a role and they have to be in sort of in mode. So you sort of do that. You get in mode. So like, are you, do you build snowmen in your house in July?
I do listen to Christmas carols, and I work so far ahead. Right now I'm starting the 2015 calendars, and so I work so far ahead, and I'm constantly trying to see what are the next trends, what are the next colors going to be. So I never know what year it is or what time of month or what month it is or anything like that. So, yeah, it's a little confusing.
Yeah, and I think that's hard for people who aren't in the design end of it. You know, you think, oh, well, you know, we don't want to think about snowmen until, you know, like October or November at the most. But, you know, designers have to do this not only months ahead but years ahead.
Oh, yeah. Right, way ahead. And sometimes, and it is a challenge to try to think, okay, what are the trends going to be in 2015? And I do a lot of research trying to come up with, you know, the right answers, or at least close for my my look anyway. I don't feel like I have to be on the cutting edge, but I want to be on the edge that's moving forward. So.
Right. That's always a good edge. That's a good edge. The forward edge. So when you go, like Deb, if you go on vacation, do you, is there anything that happens that later shows up in your designs, or is it more just a mental break when you go away?
Well, I try to make it a mental break, but it always goes back to, I could use that. I can use that. Yeah. Or, I can think of a whole fabric line just from that one little flower sitting in a vase, you know, or you just never know what's going to spur the inspiration on. And it's just constant. It's really kind of, our family just can never get away from it. That's, I mean, from me doing it, I guess I should say. So, so we don't really have mental breaks.
Right. And do you sketch, you know, you paint your final designs, and do you sketch them in a book first?
I do a lot of sketches, thumbnail sketches, just constantly. I have a whole file cabinet full of sketches that I have brainstormed and have never come to the painting stage, actually. And it's just a constant, ideas and, research and, always sketching. If, you know, one fabric line for me could have 100 sketches behind it. There's just a lot of layers, and it's so much fun to watch a fabric line develop and come to. I feel like a fabric line for me is like telling a story, and so the story develops and the characters develop, and it's just at the end, it's just so wonderful to see it all laid out and ready to go.
That is neat. That is neat, thinking of it as a story.
Right, and for me, I usually have a panel in my fabric lines, and that pretty much tells a lot of the story, the main part of the story, and then the coordinating pieces support that panel or kind of strengthen that panel a little bit. So that's how I work, I guess. So
Yeah, it's so interesting. So tell me about the name of your company, Saltbox Designs. How did you pick that name?
Well, we live in a salt box, and we built it ourselves along with our incredible family. It was kind of like a house raising. And, of course, the house was built at the same time the business was started. So it was pretty chaotic, as you know, and everyone who's ever started a business knows. But we genuinely love our salt box and the company as well. So it's a family creation, to be real honest. Just a lot of support and love here.
Mm-hmm. I love salt box houses.
I do too.
I know. They're incredible, incredible homes. So what does your studio look like besides this amazing drafting table that you have?
Yeah. Well, our studio, my studio is, it's been all over the house, all over the house. And, you know, as one of the kids grow up and move out, then it takes over that room. And then, you know, but now it has pretty well taken over about half of our basement, which is a walkout. So it's really like I'm above ground. I have a little deck out to the side and things like that. And it has a fireplace and it's real cozy. So I'm down here all the time with my dog and our kids, as we were growing up, they would visit mom and talk to her in the studio. So, you know, if you wanted a question asked, you came in and talked while we painted. So, and my daughters are artists as well. So,
that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're both designers as well, and have we've co-designed a line with Moda.
Neat.
So, yeah.
Well, that must be very satisfying to see them do love this, have the same love that you do of drawing and painting and art.
Oh yeah, and you know we don't even have to finish sentences sometimes because you know we just know that's the color mom means or that's the color Katie or Aaron you know needs or they're thinking. So yeah, we work very well together.
Do you paint in oil?
No, I paint mostly acrylic, but sometimes watercolor. It's whatever the image needs. You know, I use crayons if it takes that. You know, whatever it takes to get the effect that I want. So,
Deb, this has been wonderful to have you on the show and share with us your design process. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you so much.
Now, everybody needs to go visit Deb Strain out at saltbox.com. Is that right? Saltbox.com?
Strain.
And
Yeah,
from there, you can go to her blog, and you'd better check it out today, day of the show, because she's running a little contest. Thanks, Deb.
Thank you.
We'll be
ready
right
for
back.
A new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs, and baby's going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and now I have got a designer that you have been following her work on the Moda Bake Shop. You have now got the chance to buy her first book, and I'm so excited to have Angela Yostin here on the show because Angela is just full of great ideas, great fun, easy ideas. And that's the part I love most about her work. Hi, Angela. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
I am wonderful. Congratulations on your first book with C&T. This is awesome.
Thank you so much. It's been exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long wait sometimes, isn't it?
It is, yeah, almost. Yeah, I think from concept to actually release, it's like a two-year process.
Oh, so. I know. It seems like forever, and you can't tell anybody, and you just want to bust with all the excitement.
Yeah.
But it's here, it's out. Yay!
Yay!
Yeah, so first let's talk about the book, because that is the, you know, like your big thing right now, even though you have lots of other exciting stuff. It's called Stop, Go, Quilt, Sew. What's the concept of the book?
The concept of it is it's all based for boys at any age. I've got a little boy that's, at the time he was about 3 years old when I came up with the idea. He's now 5 years old, and I now have a second son that's 8 months old. So it was just everything out there right now is kind of for girls, and it's hard finding things for the boys that aren't the little trains and teddy bears and that kind of thing. I wanted something a little bit more grown up that could grow with them as they get to college years or even adults.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the concept is sort of they're traffic signs. A lot of them are based on that. How did you come up with that? That is so clever.
Yeah, my son, actually, Matthew, the one that's five now, since he could crawl, he went straight towards cars and anything that kind of moved. And we were on a road trip, and started seeing road signs, and I knew I wanted to do something for boys, and that just kind of, I was like, I need to do road signs, just interpret those into actual projects. So that's kind of where it came from.
You know, that's great because they really, they're very fun. They're very fresh to have, and they're not difficult projects. So they can be done pretty quickly.
Yeah. They're great for beginners, and they're also great for people that have been sewing for years because they're different. They're, I guess, not your traditional quilting or not your traditional projects. So.
I love how you do the shading, Angela, in the fabrics, because you don't use just like one black. And even you shade it like across a sign. If you think like a sign, you know, like a stop sign, you know, it's not just one big blob of color. You've done shading. What are some tips to do that?
Really, all I do is just take a bunch of scraps that I like that kind of coordinate together, sew them all together to make one fabric, like one base fabric, and then I cut out my shapes from that. So that way, because I really wanted that depth of multiple layers, or instead of just that one piece of fabric, so I just sew them all together and then cut out the appliques, but I really just kind of pick and choose whatever I like that goes together. It didn't actually, the shading thing, I guess that just kind of happened. It wasn't on purpose.
It wasn't on purpose. Okay, well, don't tell us that now. That's
okay.
Yeah, I love it because even like you have a no parking sign, you know, the P with, you know, the slash and the circle, and even that's shaded. So you're building like fabric and then cutting your images out of it.
Right, right.
That's a great tip. So how do you find boy fabric? You know, what's going through your head when you go looking for fabric that you feel will make a good guy quilt?
I pretty much look for anything. I like that grunge or that kind of rough or raw feel of a fabric for boys. I just think that really gives a lot of texture and depth to the project, and it doesn't make it too girly. So I really look for those geometric prints or masculine type shapes and plain stripes or plaids or just some interesting fabric designs that don't have flowers or don't have something that could be interpreted for girls.
Right. There are no flowers. Flowers are difficult for guy quilts. I mean, not that men don't like flowers, but it just is hard to sort of incorporate that, isn't it? It just tends to look more feminine.
Yeah, yeah. So anything like with words on it, like the typography type fabric prints and everything else, those work great for boys.
So tell me about the book tour.
The book tour started today, and Stash Books is kicking it off. They're in California. We're actually taking kind of a virtual road trip for this. So you're actually going to leave from California today, and they should be posting that right now if they haven't already. They'll be posting that soon. And tomorrow you'll be heading across seas to Australia, or if you're in Australia already, then it's going to be kind of local. But then you'll come back to the United States and travel across the United States until you reach Texas, which ends with me.
Oh, that's so fun. I just love that part of it, the traveling. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So you know, because you have children, I mean, do you do road trips? I mean, is that sort of like, I mean, you said that you saw signs and stuff. Do you take vacations? You all pile in the car and go?
Yeah, we try to, during the summer, we try to take a little road trip to go see family. And we'll just pile them up in the car. And it may be an hour or it may be 5 hours. It just depends mm-hmm. on where we're going. So, but yeah, there's always signs. So it's fun to kind of see all the different. To me, I think signs are kind of an art within themselves. So,
oh, absolutely. I love your Route 66. Oh, my gosh. That's my favorite. Yeah. So the kids are small enough. You could just say, you know, you'll be there soon. They're not checking their watches yet, are they?
Oh, they're kids. They ask, yeah. Are we there yet?
Yeah. Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Yeah, they definitely do that. But
So and you have three children, Angela, right? You have a little girl too.
Yes, she's our oldest, Paige. Okay. She's seven.
Okay, yeah. Well, she can probably check her watch to see where you are. That's
yes. She's starting to now.
Yeah. Uh oh. So you, besides being a fabulous designer, you also work in the industry, the quilt industry for Moda, and you're their web designer and, you know, do all the work for their website. And plus, you've worked off and on with the Moda Bake Shop.
Yes.
Right now, you're managing the bake shop?
Right. Okay. Yeah, we started it off, and it started off small, and it quickly grew, and it's been, we started in January 2009, the Moda Bake Shop, and, you know, we've learned along the way, and it's grown so much to where now we have a editor that pretty much handles everything on the approval and posting process, so.
And you also have designs on the bake shop, so if somebody goes there, they can just put your name in and look for designs by you?
Yep. I've got over 18, maybe 19 projects on there. Since 2009, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I love one of your more current ones uses that chalkboard fabric.
Yes. Yeah, the chalk cloth, I love that stuff. The placemats were the second project that I've done using that chalk cloth. The first one was a 10 Little Things little soft book using the line by Jen Ski and mm-hmm. used her panel and made a little quiet book, I guess you could call it, where they can draw on one side and copy what's on the left. But the placemats. I used them also so that way they could be at a restaurant or even at home, and they can doodle on them, and it's easy to erase or even clean off from food.
And is it hard to work with, or is it just like regular fabric?
It's really easy to work with. The only thing that I would suggest is not putting it as the bait, like when you're sewing it on the sewing machine, mm-hmm. don't put it near the dog feed because it just won't slide yeah. very easily. So always yeah. put the fabric side down and then put the chalk cloth towards your foot, and it slides a lot better that way.
Ah, perfect, perfect tip. Now, you blog. Your blog is blog.angelayostin.com, and you can get
right.
that from your website, which is angelayostin.com. What's a tip you can give people for blogging? Just like your top tip.
Oh, just find something interesting that, you know, that you think is interesting that other people would like to. I try to find things that other people can relate to when I blog. The kids are a great inspiration for that. I mean, there's a lot of moms out there that go through the same things I do, and, you know, talking about it sometimes on the blog just helps relieve some stress and some other, you know, also the projects and everything else that I put on there is always fun. So just whatever, I guess, inspires you or intrigues you to blog about and share with others.
Yeah, I wish more people would do blogs that have quilts, you know, that are making quilts. You know, they don't have to be in the business, in the quilt business to have a blog.
Right, right, yeah.
It'd be really fun to be able to see their work out there and learn why they did something or why they loved, you know, what they bought. And, you know, so I would love people to do, you know, have more blogs.
Yeah, it's fun reading them.
So, Miss Angela, I thought that it was really interesting. We just have a few seconds here, but your dad said that he taught you how to think through things when you were a kid, that was a big inspiration to you. How do you think that helped you?
Oh, my gosh. I think that's probably been the biggest help throughout my life. My dad owned a computer store when we were growing up, and we would always get on the computer and, you know, we'd get this death of the blue screen, and we're like,
yeah.
Dad, help.
Yes.
And he'd tell us, look it up, you know, look
yeah.
it up, figure it out, and fix it. And because he didn't have time always to help us fix our computer issues every mm-hmm. time we'd break it. And so we always had to figure out what happened and how to fix it. And that's kind of, I mean, and my mom, she owned a quilt store so when I was in high school. So I've got,
yeah.
I benefited from both of them. My dad in the technical field and my mom in the quilting field. So,
well, Angela, I thank you so much for being on the show. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
Angela Yostin, and I'm your host, Pat Sloan, for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Remember,
we have all new show next week. See you then.
For more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.